Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'd like to welcome you back this evening. Today is Monday, the 28th of March, 2016. God bless you. Thank you for joining us. And we have a good show planned for you tonight, an interesting show. Hopefully we're going to touch on some issues that are going to encourage and enlighten and motivate some men in their lives. We're going to be talking about integrity. Integrity and a godly man, a man of godly integrity. And we have some guests tonight who's going to join us. Also, we're going to be talking to one of our facilitators for our upcoming men's event for the Coalition of Men's Ministries. And we're going to have some other announcements here. But we're going to start off with prayer and scripture, and then we're going to get into the show. Amen. Amen. So this evening, I'm going to be reading from Ephesians chapter number 4. Starting at verse number 7. And the word of God says, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, are of good report. If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Father God, we say thank you today, Lord God, for being the God of peace, O God, in our lives, God. Father, for bringing peace and order to the chaos of our lives sometimes, Lord God. That you, O God, through your word, God, through your Holy Spirit, O God, and through the fellowship of the brethren, O God, you help and guide us, O God, to safety, sanctification, to growth, to purity, O God, and holding us accountable. Father, continue to bless us and watch over us, God. For those men who join us tonight as my guests, Deacon Anthony Lee and Pastor Larry Watkins, we say, Lord, touch their families, set a hedge of protection around them, and keep them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we have a couple announcements tonight. Tomorrow, still time, if you would like to, the Howard County Coalition to End Intimate Partner Violence, and in 2016 Dialogue Series, they present Interpretation of Scripture, Power, and Control, and that's tomorrow, Tuesday, March the 9th, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the United Methodist Church Mission Center at 11711 East Marketplace in Fulton, Maryland. And we're going to talk a little bit about domestic violence in relationships. And they're going to increase some awareness. We're going to talk about ending the silence. We're going to talk about connecting with resources and to be proactive in the faith community. We're going to have representatives from all walks of faith, from Christian, Muslim, Jew, and Buddhist, and so many other ones. But we're going to be talking about how intimate violence, domestic violence, it affects us across cultural, racial, religious lines. And it's something that we definitely have to deal with in the church. And one of the things we talk about when we talk about domestic violence in the body of Christ is, what would you do if someone came to you in your church, from my pastors, my elders, and my deacons who are listening tonight? What is the plan? What is the process if someone came to you at a Bible study, a midweek service, a Sunday service, and they say they were victims of domestic violence? Is there a plan and a process that your team knows, that your leadership team knows to follow, that we're not just sending people back home to a dangerous situation? Because you never know, it can escalate. You know, once the abuser finds out they even told anybody, sending them back home could be a dangerous, dangerous thing. But again, as the body of Christ, are we proactive? What's the plan? What are you going to do? What is the standard operating procedure in your church, in your ministry, to deal with domestic violence and the reports of it? And also, are we talking about it and dealing with it within the body of Christ and teaching, making awareness for our young people? There's a thing, there's statistics out there about teen dating, because it starts somewhere. They don't have to necessarily be married, they could be dating as teens, and they think that's the norm. Some people come from homes. You know, we can't always go by what they look like on Sunday because everybody's on good behavior on Sunday. But what goes on the rest of the days of the week? And then again, as the body of Christ, we should be able to train our people that if they, as we minister and do outreach, you know, if we're seeking the lost and we come into these circumstances of people having to deal with domestic violence in their homes, what is the church prepared to do? How are we prepared to help? So that's one of the things we're going to talk about, and I pray that I spark something in the leaders there that you think about it. What's the plan? What's the procedure if you hear about domestic violence or it's reported to you? Amen? Amen. So anyway, that's tomorrow, Tuesday, March the 19th, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., Interpretation of Scripture, Power and Control. You can also go to the website at www.wearehopeworks.org/events, and you can see the registration there, the time, location. You can reach out to them. Also, you can call them at 410-997-0304. Amen. Amen. Coalition of Men's Ministry presents Man Up, Standing as a Watchman on the Wall. That's going to be on Saturday, April the 9th, 2016, from 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. And we're going to hold it out in the community at Freetown Community Center, 7825 Freetown Road in Glenbury, Maryland. We encourage you. We invite you to come out and join us, come to fellowship. You can listen to us on the radio. You get to meet all the brothers whose voices you hear. We'll be there. We'll be there live. We'll sign autographs and everything else if you want. Take pictures with you, selfies, you know. Amen. But anyway, that's going to be on Saturday, April the 9th, 2016, from 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. You can go on our Facebook page, Issues for Christian Men's Talk. Reach out to us there. Send us a message there. We can get you the information, RSVP us. Also, you can call us at 443-591-3504, RSVP. Any questions, you need directions, anything like that, reach out to us. And again, you can go on our Facebook page, Issues for Christian Men's Talk. If you listen to us online tonight, if you went online and went to www.blogtalkradio.com/ Deacon Thomas Farr, you can also call in and join the conversation, share your wisdom by calling 646-668-2636. Amen? Amen. Well, amen. Tonight, we have one of our facilitators for the event. He's online tonight. We're going to talk a little bit about his session and what he's going to be teaching about. Deacon Anthony Lee, how are you, sir? Good evening.
I'm doing well. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's good to hear from you.
Yes, sir. Thank you for joining us, brother. I know you're a busy man and everything, and I know you're preparing yourself, but I appreciate you joining us tonight and talk a little bit about your session and then join us in the conversation.
Amen.
Let's start there. First of all, tell us about yourself and what church do you attend?
My name is Deacon Anthony Lee. I attend Jesus Lives Ministry in Hanover, Maryland, and off of New Ridge Road. A little bit about myself. I'm just, I always say that I basically speak as a witness. I don't really get into titles, but God deals with me basically through showing me, you know, his power and through the Holy Spirit. I just try to, you know, do the best I can, you know, starting off as a deacon. I've only been a deacon for about maybe 2 years, I believe. The ordination service took place about 2 years ago. I'm you know, honored, really, to be called a deacon. You know, my lifestyle didn't pan up to what I thought it would be, but I thank God for calling me into the ministry and into the sheep, into the fold. I just thank God for all things, you know. You know, I don't take anything for granted, you know. We celebrate a resurrection, and, you know, it just reminds me of how lost I used to be and how I need him so that I can, you know, keep moving forward in faith. But that's all basically just about me, you know, just average guy. I don't, you know, like I said before, I don't get too deep into titles, accolades, or anything like that. But it's a starting point for me. You know, I'm trying to get used to the fact that I got to be held accountable to a standard in Christ because everyone's watching, you know, and I don't want to cause anybody to stumble with my walk. So I thank God, you know, for keeping me grounded and rooted in His Word, and I thank God for the Holy Spirit.
Amen, sir. Thank you very much. You know, that's good to hear, man. And 2 years, you like fresh new out the box there, brother. Amen.
Yeah, fresh out the box, man.
There you go, man. Amen. Good. It's good to hear you, man. I hear your heart, brother. And, you know, we've been hanging out for a while, and I appreciate you, man. But you know, this walk, and when we step into the role to be represented, the thing that you said that really touched me was that, you know, we have to be an example. People are watching us, and people see us as leaders sometime. And even though we're not perfect, we don't claim to be perfect, but we do claim to hold up a standard.
Amen.
And the standard is the Word of God.
Amen.
So, bro, like I said, you're going to be one of our facilitators at the Man Up event on April the 9th. And your session is, I had the thing here. Oh, we titled your section, amen. We titled your particular session as How to Transform Your Wife. So you're going to be talking about marriage a little bit. And I don't want you to give the whole thing away, brother. I just want you to give the people a little taste to make them hungry. Say, you know what? I need to come to hear the rest of that. So don't give it all away.
Amen.
But tell me this, bro. What is God, you know, in general, what does God lead you to talk about when we're talking about how to transform your wife?
Well, one thing He tells me, and you know, dealing with me in my own marriage, my own lifestyle and the experiences is, He teaches me about love and the love that you have in Christ. It's so hard for a man sometimes to love, you know. It's funny how, you know, and I believe I mentioned this to you before, how women, it's hard for them to submit and it's hard for a man to love. It's just, you know, in my own personal walk, I found that I can't rule a household based off of just discipline and based off of my emotions on how things are wrong and everything's out of whack. I have to rule it by love, you know. Dealing with my wife, and I tell you, it's a task. You know, it's a task because a lot of things, you know, you want your wife to do and you expect, you know, things going into a relationship that you had out in the world. You know, but God, he showed me something in that, you know. He showed me that, you know, what qualifications did I have to become saved? You know, for Him to save me, what did I do to earn salvation? You know, and, you know, just in that alone, it just let me know, like, you know, I could never be perfect in the eyes of God. But why does He love me so much? Why is He so mindful of me? You know, and, you know, I took that, you know, from Ephesians where it says, you know, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And like I said, you told me you didn't want me to get deep. And I'm going to try to keep it as brief as possible. But when you touch on a subject such as marriage, and even if the people that are searching for marriage and searching for a wife, they need to know these particular qualities to have or the expectations into going into a marriage. You know, the first thing you got to understand is if you're a believer, it'll work out. You know, because you don't base it on your experiences. You base it on what Christ says to do. So, you know, going into, we always worry about what the wife need to be doing. You know, well, what am I doing? You know, what am I supposed to be doing? So the first thing I'm supposed to be doing is to love your wife as Christ loves the church. And I know that sounds a lot of cliche, but, you know, when you think of that, men don't always think of themselves as being the church. You know, it's that humility that a man has to understand that he is the church, which means that he has a union with Christ. And, you know, what type of things do Christ expect from us, you know, to gain His love for us? You know, and, you know, like you said just a little bit ago, like, you know, we're not claiming to be perfect, but we're held to a standard. You know, if the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us, those fruits will come out. You know, you're able to do those things through salvation and through His blood. You're able to do the things that God equips you to do. The problem is the humility and the flesh, it wars all the time. So it's difficult to do those things without Christ. So, you know, a man automatically, he say, oh, I want to get married because, you know, I've seen other people do it. And, you know, just from my own testimony, you know, marriage is a difficult thing going in because, you know, the wife has her perspective. You have your perspective. And the next thing you know, we got a lot of perspective that sound great. But we never try to practice it as far as what God would have us to do. You know, and just that much about loving your wife, you know, we got to know how much love really is. We got to really know what love is. Love is basically the center of your heart. You know, the things that's on your heart, people don't have to tell you to do. You know, it's just pretty much a routine. You know, it's not, you know, something got to say, okay, if God is on your heart, you're going to spend time with him. You're going to spend time in prayer. You're going to spend time in fasting. You're going to spend time in intercession or prayer for other people. That's in your heart to do. You know, it's funny how the things that's on our heart, people don't have to pull our legs or basically try to pull us to do them, you know, because we love it so much. And the things I found that actually are in our heart that we actually do more of basically becomes an idol worship before God. We put those things before God. And how could we do that when we have this union with Christ? So it's just certain things, you know, certain perspectives of a marriage that men go into with, and they try to rule with dominance, you know, just through my own life. You know, I basically, you know, my marriage, you come home and, you know, how it is, you argue about the one littlest thing, you know, that tick you off, and you're like, man, I don't know what to do. You know, I don't know what to say to her. I don't know what to say, you know, to try to fix it and everything like that. But if you're a believer, just go to the word and see what Christ would have us to do in our marriage. And, you know, it stems from even the creation of marriage and how he unionized marriage, meaning that he brought his wife to Adam. You know, it's one thing for a man to go out and search a wife for all of those characteristics. You know, she got to look like this. She got to dress like this. She got to act like this. You know, when we behind closed doors, I don't want to elaborate. We're supposed to do things in decency and order, so I don't want to say nothing that'll offend people. But you know what I'm talking about. I mean, meaning when a woman walk past you, you don't say, oh, man, she got a good mind, don't she? You know, the first thing that a man does is what's appealing to him through sight. Because before we Amen. Know Christ, we walk by sight. Amen? So, you know, it's just those things, you know, it's just those things, you know, that men, you know, look for, and don't wait for Christ to actually prepare a wife for them. You know, we just go out and we look for the things that appeal to us in our sight and get a rise out of right. our desires, you know. And so doing those things, it's like, you know, already your foundation is wrong. You know, it's like, you know, you know. So when your wife doesn't look like that anymore, you know what happens. You go searching for the same thing you used to have. Now you got a whole lot of things going on in your marriage. You know.
Oh, man.
Now,
hold on, hold on, brother. Hold on. Hold on. Okay, that's enough. If they don't want to come now,
hey.
Brother, you know, I can't twist their arm. You know what I'm saying? You hear
Praise
it, brother.
God.
Praise God, man. Praise God. Amen. Well, brothers, I had to pull the brother in. I had to pull him in. But
we do
encourage you. We encourage you to come join us. The Coalition of Men's Ministry is Man Up. Stan is watching on the wall. And also, I want to share this too. What he was saying, we have a responsibility as husbands. I mean, as the brothers share, you know, marriage is it's a process. It can be challenging. But us as Christian men, we have to have our marriages set up that we are examples. Examples for our children, examples for in the church, examples for the community. Because we know now that marriage is being redefined. They call all kinds of unions marriage now. And that's not what God called it. But it is something that you touched on, brother, that we have to, because we have to represent. And the marriage,
Amen.
Because again, the scripture talks about that the church is the bride of Christ. And
Amen.
That scripture that you use in Ephesians, you know, we have to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And like you said, some
Amen.
Men, they don't know. They don't know what that means. And the part that we're going to talk about on Saturday, April the 9th, is application. Trust me, brothers, I'll share this with as many men as I talk to, which is not going to be a service setting. It's going to be more of a seminar, workshop, teaching, and engaging, because we want to hear some of the men, some of the issues they're going through, some questions. We're going to have a host of men there of different, you know, men that I know. I can tell you right now, there's going to be four or five men that's been married 25 years. You know, and all of them didn't get married saved. Some of them have been married. They've been saved their whole marriage. But we're going to have perspective. We're going to have wisdom. We're going to have insight. And whatever you're going through, I guarantee you someone in that room is going to been through it. They might have made the wrong choice or the right choice, and it may help you make the right choice. Because, you know, all our women, you know, we say all women are different, but I guarantee you we have more things in common in our struggles, our passions, and the pressures that we live on as husbands and fathers and men that we have in common. And some brothers have been through it, some brothers are going through it, and some brothers haven't been there yet, and it's going to blindside them. Amen. So we encourage you to come out. You get to meet Dickie and Anthony Lee, I'll be there, and we have a couple other brothers of wisdom going to be there, and we're going to have a good time. And we're also serving lunch again. So we encourage you. We're going to be at the Freetown Community Center at 7825 Freetown Road in Glen Burnie, Maryland. It's 21060. And if you want, you can RSVP us, get information about registering. We ask a registration fee of $25 to cover materials and lunch and some resources. And also, let me say this, we're building toolboxes. We're sending men home with tools. We're going to send men home with the tools they need. If you have, you know, if you got to fix your car, fix your boat, do some repairs around the house, you need a toolbox with the tools you need. We are going to give you the basics, maybe a little bit more than the basics. You're going to have a hammer, screwdriver, drill, a ratchet set, and, you know, then you can add to it as you go along. But we're going to send you with some tools home that you can use, that you can, you know, you can put to practice in your own devotional time, go home with your wife, look it over, and begin to work it out. Sanctify your marriage. You have to put something in it to get something out of it. And I encourage any brother that's listening, if your marriage right now, if the marriage and your relationship with your wife, you know what's wrong, you know what you want to see to change. So now we're going to help you do that. That's all. We're going to send you down the path, and I pray that you're in a church and you have a men's ministry, you have those over you who you can go to, but we just want to encourage you. We come together, we're going to teach, discuss, and prepare you to make a difference. We're going to have a milestones. This can be a turning point in the marriage. That's what we're praying for. We're praying for the turnaround of marriages. We're praying for the recommitment, the covenant, the reconciliation, the forgiveness, and start again. Because every day that we wake up and every day that, you know, every day that we start anew is a new opportunity to love our wives better than we did yesterday and not carry your mistakes with you forward. You know, we want to be looking to change marriage. We're looking to encourage marriage and strengthen marriage. Amen. I'm Deacon Thomas Paul. You listen to Issues Christian Men's Talk. We're here with Deacon Anthony Lee, one of our facilitators for the Man Up event. And we have Pastor Larry Watkins on the line this evening.
Praise the Lord, Deacon Farr. How are you, sir? It's good to hear your voice.
Yes, sir. Good to hear your voice, man. It's been a while, man. Tell your grandson I said hello, and I'm praying for him. Amen.
I will give him that message.
Yes, sir. Pastor Overseer Maurice Cornwell, good evening, sir. How are you?
Truly blessed, Deacon. Truly blessed. It's good to be on the phone with yourself and my brother, Pastor. God bless you.
Amen, amen. Well, tonight, gentlemen, we're going to talk a little bit about integrity in the life of a man, a godly man and his integrity, and how important that is. So some of this touches on what we're going to be talking about at the Man Up event. But tonight, I just wanted to touch on a few points here. I want to read something to you, and then I want to get your input on it and what you're thinking. Because we say integrity. We can hardly overstate the importance of integrity in the generation of believers, so much like the world in the ethical conduct. Because we see the church doing the same thing the world does. And that's, I think that's some of the hindrances sometimes. Because the things we do, we see the world do, and then we're supposed to be saved. And that's where the unbeliever or the skeptic or someone struggling with their faith always seems to see. But integrity benefits the character, a clear conscience, a deep intimacy with God is important. So as men of God, you know, we have to guard ourselves in what we do in integrity. And it goes from a lot of things. It goes from all the way from our sexual integrity to, you know, how we talk to women that's not our wives, how we treat women that's not our wives, especially from our single brothers, because your integrity, if you got a reputation around about the body of Christ of being a certain kind of brother, it's going to come back to haunt you. Even if you do find a wife, you left a trail behind you. You know, well, Pastor, a long time ago at a men's event, you know, talked about Pentecostal pimping because, you know, you have brothers running to the church and they're getting in relationships and, you know, being less than honorable with the single women around the church. And that's something that we have to, you know, we have to call it out what it is. Amen. But, and also in our context and what we do in our work, in our workplace and in our jobs and what are we known to be as men of God? And again, I don't want to put out there and stand on a pedestal and say that, you know, everybody gets it right or I even have it right, but we have a standard that through God's word, through the Holy Spirit, and through the encounter and accountability of our brethren, we can fix it. Because, you know, people who know me know I wasn't raised in the church, and there's a process to get it right. But you have to seek after that thing. You have to want to be different than you were. Because once you understand that you were a sinner, and now that you're saved by grace and faith, now you got to pursue it and want to do different and don't think the same way you thought before. Pastor Coleman, what do you think about that, sir?
Wow, that's so powerful, Deacon. You know, it's something that when we think about the word integrity, and I'm going to say this, we have to accept some things. There's some words that when you see the etymology of the word, you must say, the breakdown of the word, the origination of the word, there's some words that has like a masculine connotation about it. Not saying that women can't use it, but it has an overall masculine, almost like a battle-like presentation to it. When you say integrity and it's a real soundness, wholeness, completeness, you know, purity, correctness, blamelessness, having integrity, I tell that's being solid. I tell people all the time that, you know, when I teach that, when you know what something has integrity, that means you can trust in it. If you have a chair and you go to sit on it, and the chair has no integrity, hallelujah, when you place your trust in it, it will fail you, okay? It's imperative for a man to have the same solidity like you would something that's going to hold something up. And we find that we find that too often among men, we think when we come to church, we have to take on a different type of integrity than we did when we was out in the world. And that's not the case at all. It's not the fact that, and let's check that. I mean, as far as in the world we looked at, as far as integrity, I can trust you, my man. I can depend on you, my man. You know, we can go to battle together, my man. But in the church, we think that we come to church and it just means, well, just being a good Christian. That's it. No. We come to church, we still should be able to say, I can trust you, my man. I can depend on you, my man. So in essence, yeah, some things change because of the biblical characteristics, but the fact of being sound, being whole, being complete, being trustworthy remains the same. And if we don't take back that masculine tendency of some words, when we say it, make no apologies for it, this is, man, this is, we're talking about men's issues. We talk about men learning to take on integrity and hold yourself accountable. And Ray, check this out. If you really hold yourself accountable as integrity, no one else can question it. But if you don't even know that you trust yourself with it, nobody else can trust you. And integrity is one of the foundational principles of being a man. And that's a rite of passage when you can learn what it means to improve for yourself and then begin to grow and prove to others that you had it. And it's something that's very, very high integral for as far as being a man. Brother Deacon?
Amen, sir. Amen. Pastor Watkins, sir, what do you think? The importance of us as men of God to be able to what's the word I want to use? To project integrity in who we are and how we handle ourselves in all circumstances. What do you think, sir?
I believe it's integral that we make sure that we are men that are displaying or showing that we are men of integrity. When I think of integrity, I think of the word consistency. It means that I'm consistent no matter who's looking, no matter what situation I'm in, no matter what's going on, I'm consistent. When I was in the world, I was consistent in my wrong. I did what I thought I was supposed to be doing at the time. I did what felt good to me, and I was consistent in that. When I step into the church, I now need to be consistent in my walk with God. That means that whatever I say out of my mouth, whatever I portray in my life, my life and my words need to add up. And it means that no matter where you find me, whether you find me at home by myself in front of my computer, or whether you find me on the train, or whether you find me driving to work, or you find me on my job, that you're going to get that consistency from you. And then we get to the point where we talk like we bring up Pastor Cornwell was saying, Overseer Cornwell was saying, is that now you know that you can depend on me because you know that there is a consistency in my life. You know that what I say is what I'm going to do, and what I'm going to do is what I'm going to say, and they both match up. The problem is with men is that we don't always say what we're going to do or do what we're going to say. There's moments of inconsistency in our lives because we make those mistakes. We have our 30 seconds of stupidity, if you will, where we make mistakes and we allow our integrity to slip because we wanted to be something different in this situation than we were in that situation. And when that happens, that's when people will look at us as untrustworthy because there's inconsistencies. There's some things that don't match up in our lives. There's some things that you say that don't match up in how you're presenting yourself, or there's some things in how you're presenting yourself that don't match up with what you say. And it's hard as a man to maintain that consistency that I'm the same today, I'm the same tomorrow, and I'm going to be the same when I go forward. That's integrity. No matter who's watching, no matter whether it's in the light or in the dark, I'm still the same. And that means that I have to make sure that my character and my personality line up with what God says, and it's always consistent. The problem comes when we move that consistency and try and have wiggle room. What do you think, sir?
That's good. Amen, sir. You know, you're absolutely correct. When you said that wiggle room thing, that's something, you know, that's like we want to balance the line sometimes. What can I get away with? And that right there tells me that you're already setting yourself up for failure because you're looking for a way to circumvent the Word of God or circumvent what the Holy Spirit is telling you. You know, because as we go through this process of growth in Christ, the Holy Spirit's going to start to tell us some stuff. And then are we going to listen to it through people, through learning from those around us, or just from the Holy Spirit speaking to our conscience that we shouldn't do this, we should not do it, we should try to go another way, or seek help and we deny the help that's there. But those brothers around us who in our circle that we know we can call and be confident with. Deacon Anthony, sir, what do you think, sir? Important for integrity in a man's life.
Praise the Lord. You know, they were right. You know, integrity is something that a person looks for in a believer to become a believer. You know, if you don't hold true to what you believe in, how can you expect the people around you to be ministered to by your walk? You know, it's kind of crazy. You know, when you think about what's going on in the world, and a lot of them have views about God, but they have views about God on what they see other believers or so-called believers do. You know, if those other believers have a tendency to lie, what makes you think that the word of God is true in their life? It makes no sense. You know, so when you say integrity, really, you know, the meaning of integrity, one of the meanings is to basically the state of being whole and undivided. You know, and one of the things about being undivided, you know, you got to understand, you know, this thing integrity, you know, people hold a person or can have faith in a person that follows Christ through integrity. You know, the Holy Spirit is really real in their lives once the integrity starts to show on the outside. See, the thing is that, you know, us as believers, yeah, we're going to stumble. We're going to make mistakes and everything like that. But if we depend on the Holy Spirit for the things that Christ said that we could do, you know, then basically that integrity begins to come on the outside of a person. you know, it's hard. It's pretty much difficult for me to live my life without the Holy Spirit giving me the integrity to stay in the game. You know, I want to stay in the fight. You know, if a person, you know, even the people of God in the ministry depend on you to have integrity. Otherwise, how can I be healed if you say in the word, it says, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You know, I'm not sure if I'll recover if you don't hold fast to the word of God in you. You know, it's just, you look for those qualities. You know, you automatically know. If you try the Spirit by the Spirit, a person will automatically know if he's walking in integrity. You know, I just know that for certain. I understand, you know, I see the fruit of the man's life. You know, basically God holds us to a standard of integrity because he doesn't want his word to basically come back void in our lives. You know, one thing I know about the word of God, it does have power to change. You know, it could change circumstances, but we have to have faith to actually speak it and make sure that those things go into existence because it's not going to come back void. You know, so integrity, basically these things, integrity, that's such a masculine principle, like the pastor said. You know, that's something that, you know, people look for, that dominance, that solid integrity that, you know, it's not wavering. It's not, you know, being tossed to and fro by opinions or how you feel. You know, integrity won't tell you to basically not forgive a person. You know, those things and those principles, you know, and forgiveness is hard, especially for the people that's on the outside. You know, they don't have forgiveness in their lives. They don't have that integrity to say, you know what, I know I'm hurt by this, but I can let it go. You know, I can let some things go because of my integrity in Christ. Because if I act a certain way, other or contrary to what Christ is having me to act, what is going to happen to that man that's looking for forgiveness from me? So I got to be careful. I got to be mindful of how I treat people. You know, like I said before, you know, I'm new to this thing. You know, being, you know, they hold me to integrity as a leader. You know, my kids hold me to integrity as a father. My wife holds me integrity as a husband. So those things are very, very valuable in my Christian walk. And, you know, it's just a thing about it when you talk about integrity. You know, how much integrity is looked upon in the church. You know, you got so many religions out there. Nobody really, really talks, you know, wants to talk about Jesus Christ. They'd rather talk about the religion part of it. You know, oh, you see wrong or fault in the person. And they base Christianity off of what they see somebody else do to another person. You know, and then as soon as you try to minister to that brother, he's like, man, wait a minute, hold on. I just caught this guy lying, or I just caught this person doing this. And you saying you're a Christian, so what are you about to tell me? Because I don't see any difference in your attitude and the way that you are than mine. I might as well keep doing the same thing, because if God can save you the way that you are, I know he can save me. I'm already saved, or considered saved, because I look at what you do. Mm. That's the thing. You know, that's the thing. When God holds you to a standard, you just want to be, you know, you want to be blessed. You want to basically give that unction to somebody else so that they can be blessed. You know, and I could go on and on about integrity, but I'll let it go, and I'll basically let you guys have the floor. But I tell you, integrity, that's such a good thing. That's something that, you know, is lost in the church a lot. You know, that's why so many churches are divided, because of integrity, lack of integrity. You know, You find more disagreements in church. You find more disagreements, more gossip in church. And these are members of the body of Christ.
Go ahead, brother.
God looks at that and he says, you know, how are you going to treat my body if I see you treating members of the body this way?
Are you not
discerning the Lord's body? See, so, you know, it's just, I tell you, man, you know, integrity, that's one of the things that, you know, is really lost in the church. And you're right. Men and people of God have to be held to accountability and integrity through the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. But ladies and gentlemen, there's Deacon Anthony Lee of Jesus Leaders Ministry. And we enjoy that brother coming, because that brother gives new life to these old bones here. Amen. He's the next generation coming up. Amen.
Amen.
But I agree with what you're saying, brother. It's right, and that I think, and I know we agree on this. Let me put it this way: anyone who's listening, and if you haven't seen it yet, I think what it really is, if you go out and do evangelism and actually talk to people, Because I think some of the things that we do sometimes in the body of Christ is we only hang around other Christians. And we, you know, we don't really do the evangelism as we ought to do with the Great Commission. But as, because if we do go out and we engage folk about their faith, that's what they, sometimes that's what a lot of them respond to. They respond to the things they've seen, the religious things they've seen, the religious things they've been exposed to. You know, I think about it, Pastor taught one time about the Jesus talked to the woman at the well. You know, he approached her, and all she could respond was, well, we pray on this mountain. She went into a religious thing. She went into a religious bag. I'm a Methodist. I've been a Methodist. I was born Methodist. I died Methodist. I was Baptist. I was born, and I was born and baptized a Baptist, and I'll die a Baptist, and you know, all that thing. And that, for that, that religious part is what hinder a lot of people from understanding who Christ is. And I think as men, we are called to, and part of our reaching the lost is our lifestyles, our integrity, what we say. Are we true to what we say? If we go out and we're ministering, do we speak the word of God, or do we come up with our own interpretation trying to impress them? You know, I was in a men's group once, and we were talking about, you know, some of the things, you know, and I said, well, wait a minute. Are we in the body of Christ? Do we come together to see how smart we are, to compare ourselves to ourselves, or do we come together, as Scripture says, to iron sharpening iron, so that we can go out and go into the enemy's camp, reach a lost soul, bring them into Christ, or do we sit around trying to see who's the smartest Christian, or who knows the most Scripture, or who whatever, who has what, you know, and we get lost in that thing, instead of are we preparing each other to go out. Are we looking at each other's lives and saying, all right, bro, you know, is you good? I'm good. We're good. Now you can go out and minister, and I'm there for you. I back you up. We keep our lives. We keep our integrity. We're prepared to speak a word because, you know, people are watching because, again, they might see us on a Sunday morning, but now are we the same one when they see us out in the mall, when they see us out in the supermarket? You know, we could be driving down the street, and someone we ministered to, they came and visited the church, and then you get on the street, and they cut you off on Ritchie Highway, and now you cussing them out. Then you roll up next to them, and they say, man, that's the deacon from Jesus Lives. That brother just put me off. What is that? I'm just saying. I'm sorry, bro. I'm not picking on you. I just, you know. But, again, how people perceive us, even when it's, again, how do we handle conflict, and do we let ourselves, like Pastor Larry said, do we let ourselves revert back to that 30-second stupidity or how I used to be, and I'm going to go off, and we slip? And then, you know, sometimes we have to really see it, that it's just a soul that we might lose, because we might be the only one they may hear the gospel from. But now if we're not men of integrity, and this goes for everyone, this goes for the full body of Christ. Once you've given your life to Christ, you're signed on. You're signed on to the team. You're part of it. So you have to get to a place where you are a positive representative. And one of the things you have to look at every day is ourselves in the mirror. And integrity is one of those things we definitely have to touch upon. Amen? You listen to Issues of Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I'm here with Overseer Maurice Cornwell, Pastor Larry Watkins, and Deacon Anthony Lee from Jesus Lives. He's our special guest this Monday evening. He's come on to join us, and he's one of our facilitators for Man Up. For our Man Up event, stand as watchman on the wall. Amen. And that's one of the things, too. I'm just looking at that, too, in that scripture. We talk about watchmen. I know some of us have been in the military, and some of my listeners have been in the military. When you stand a watch, that's the ultimate integrity, because you're watching over the others. You're watching over your battalion, your company, your whatever. You have to be a man of integrity that you're not sleeping on duty, you're not where you're supposed to be. You're not where you're supposed to be. For my military brothers, we know the consequences of that. And that thing is shaped and molded in you in boot camp. And it's the same thing in the church. As watchmen in the wall, there's things we need to be in place for. Men, let me calm down. Men need to be in place in the body of Christ. Because we need men, we need watchmen on the wall. You know, you the brothers, you all know that, you know, some churches you go to, you can't find a man, or the ratio is 2 men to 15 women, whatever. But This is what we say when we talk about ministry to men. We have to bring them, brother. We can't hold, again, we can't criticize or hold them brothers accountable if we haven't taken time to mentor, disciple them, and bring them up. Because for me, myself, it took two men to speak into my life to get me to understand that my salvation was more than going down the aisle and saying the sinner's prayer. I know I just stepped on some toes and messed some people up from Easter Sunday, but, however, there's going to come a time that God is going to, there's going to be a shift, and you're going to need some help. Because then when you who are you going to lean upon? And no one did it alone. You know, no one did it alone. There's the Holy Spirit, and Jesus sent them out two by two, and there's a process. And unless we immerse ourselves in that process, we can't be the men God's called us to be. Pastor Cole, what do you think, sir?
Wow, Deke, let me tell you something. You deacons are on fire, man. I tell you something, and look, I'm excited about this one, brother. I tell you, deacons, boy, it's nothing like having some deacons that's on fire. Nothing like it. I thank God for you. I want to say, I was trying to mute the phone. I'm going to go, oh, man, that's good. Ooh, that's good. Pastor Larry was pumped up too, don't get me wrong. You know, it's something you keep saying that we often say iron sharpens iron. And we say it, and the problem is that we presume that we're rubbing against iron. But see, the problem is we have too many men who are just not iron. We have men who think that they've been battle hardened by the Holy Ghost, but what they really have been is softened into a false war. We have old songs like "We Are Soldiers in the Army," songs like "I'm on the battlefield for my Lord," but we don't have that integrity of battle anymore. Most of our men who are in church have been neutered spiritually or naturally, have no testicular fortitude, and we swap around. We don't want to offend people. We don't want to hurt feelings. We're saying a political correct thing, and our young men are seeing warriors with dull swords. You know, our shields have been sat down and used as plates to serve food on. You know, our garter or belt that we had girded around our waist is loose and saggy. Lord God, the boots we have aren't Broganes or Timberlands. What they are is simply powder puffs. And the bad part about it is that we're the ones teaching the young men how to fight. You know, and the thing about it is that without having that sincere iron will and to stick to the word of God, we don't have, not only are we not on the battlefield anymore, we're not even prepared to go into battle. And if the seasoned saints of God is ill-prepared, what hope do the young men have? You notice the scripture in Proverbs chapter 4, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Your life will determine how you watch your heart. It tells you to keep your heart. See, God will keep your heart in perfect peace if that's not what you wanted as a man. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Verse 24 says, "Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips." Don't be cracking jokes with people that, you know, a black man, a white man, a Chinese man was going down the street. You don't do that as a man of God, because then those people around you will see you ain't nothing. Next verse 25 says, "Let thine eyes look right on. Keep your eyes pointed where they should be pointed, and let not thy eyelids look, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee." Now, to keep your eyes focused on the things that God wants you to, because those other men around you, the younger men and the men your age, and even the older men who have not been taught how to be a man, what they see, because too many of us men were raised by our mamas only. So we've imprinted off our mother. We think strength is when you put your foot down and speak loudly. No, being strength means sometimes you pause. Know when to speak loudly and when not to. And when you do speak loudly, don't speak loudly, just speak loudly. Speak loudly when you have something to say that's worth hearing. Last part is in verse 27. It says, "Ponder the path of thy feet." See, here's integrity right here, because it's telling you, you keep your heart. You put away from you. You let your eyes ponder the path of your feet, and let thy ways be established by you when you put your feet. The last verse, 27, "Turn not to the right hand nor to the left to remove thy foot from evil." See, in essence, if you go where you're supposed to go as a man of God, has an integrity, you can't stumble. I can't, when these men keep talking about, "I accidentally slipped and messed up and I got this girl pregnant." Well, you ain't slipping to that thing. You kept playing around with your friend And next thing you know, you end up somewhere sipping coffee. Amen, praise the Lord, hallelujah, doing a private Bible study. Next thing you know, she had an immaculate conception. And then you look up and say, I slipped and it happened. No, it didn't. But you put yourself, because you didn't have integrity, you put yourself in that situation. And then when the fruit of your labor came into view, fruition, you was finally the only person as far as you. And now all that ministry you've been doing all those years is washed away, and your integrity means nothing. Brother Deacon?
Amen, sir. Amen, amen. And that's what, as men of God, we just have to, again, this is Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. And what we want to do today, again, we not want to chastise, we don't want to condemn, but we have to, each man, if you're listening here online, if you're listening on the phone, we have to be able to look ourselves in the mirror. Because no one knows better than you who you are, except maybe your wife. I'm going to leave that right there. But we have to seek God and seek to be the man that God wants us to be. We have to understand that God has a purpose and a plan for all of us. God, we are called to be ministers. You know, Brother Deacon said earlier this morning, he's not really into titles, but the Word of God calls us to be ministers of his gospel. It's as simple as that. He didn't call us to necessarily everybody to start a church or this or have a ministry, but we are to be ministers of the gospel. We are. Some of us are Paul. Some of us are Barnabas. Some of us are John Mark. You know, John Mark messed up, and Paul said, you know, you got to go, homie. I can't hang with you. But God still had a plan for John Mark. Barnabas, the brother, I believe his name was encouragement. Some of us just have to encourage that brother to be who he's supposed to be. You know, we look at pastors, we look at men of God and you know, that are nationally rep, but all of them all started with the gospel. I don't know where we might think of them now, but, you know, their influence was the gospel message, and then God used them. And it was someone who encouraged them to go forward. And for the four of us on this line, I know it was someone who spoke to us the gospel, encouraged us, seen something in us, and it wasn't envious and it wasn't vindictive. They seen that God had a call on their life, and they encouraged us and pushed us forward to do the thing that God called us to do. And that's what we have to do as men of God. Because like Pastor Coleman was saying, there's a generation behind us who's going to have, the enemy already has the ammunition set up. They're going to legalize marijuana. Alcohol is already out there. The internet is out there. Pornography, they're going to be able to compromise their sexual integrity. All these things is coming at them. And unless we speak to them in a way that we are standing as men of God, telling them the word of God, sharing the gospel, not chastising them or trying to punish them or beat them down, but speaking to them like, you know, this is what you need to understand about all of this thing that looks so nice in the world, it all ends is death and destruction. But the word of God is going to sustain. And I said, look around. I said that to some young men here before. You look around this room, all these brothers, you see them now, all of them wasn't this way. There's a process. And all we try to do when we talk to you is to prevent you from making the same mistakes some of us has made, and that God, and that you can come into a circumstance with God can use you in another way. You know what I'm saying? Because you don't have a background of tainted. You know, some of us, you know, have tainted the background, but, you know, that really doesn't disqualify us for God. But then you don't have to go through the suffering. Because I told a man recently, some of the stuff I've been through could have killed some other brothers. And some of the stuff I know other men have been through might have broke me if were not for God. So we have to be a man of God of integrity, that we're willing to speak about these things and to encourage, mentor, and discipling. I think that's the greatest thing we can do in men's ministry. I mean, understand men's ministry. We can have some fellowship and some fun, because I think there's a time for that too. Because if we ask men to come to Christ, we have to have them to come to something, not just what they're going to give up, but they have nothing to come to, because it's time for that fellowship. We can go to basketball games, baseball games. We can just go walk Buffalo Wild Wings and drink some wings. No beer, no Long Island iced teas, but, you know, have some lemonade. Right, Pastor?
That's right,
and eat some wings. But again, you know, I can't. You can't tell me. Okay, I got to get rid of all my old friends, but none of you brothers in this church want to do nothing. Y'all all go to bed at 8 o'clock every day of the week. You ain't nothing on the weekend. The only time I see you on the weekend is in church. Now we leaving that brother out there for the enemy. The enemy to send somebody or some young girl, some young lady back into his life to pull him back out, to separate him and to kill him. Because that's what the enemy does. He separates the man from the herd, separates him from the safety of the church, of the body of Christ, so he can kill him. And to compromise his integrity. And now now the enemy gets him so jacked up, he's afraid to come back. Because why? He doesn't have a relationship with no one, and no one will minister to him. I'll say this. Do we look for that brother when he turned up missing? That's my other pet peeve that I have about men's ministry. What are we doing for those that we don't see and they turn up missing? Do we send out a scout party to find out what's going on? Amen. Even issues Christian Men Talk, I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. Brothers, we're going to go around real quick, and if you have any closing statements and comments, I appreciate all of y'all coming on tonight and sharing and being here with us. And continue to pray for your families, and continue to pray for the event coming up. Also, you can also listen to our show. We're on every Monday at 8 o'clock and every Thursday at 8:30 p.m. Then you can call in at 646-668-2636, or you can go online and listen to the show online by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. Also, if you go into the website, you can click on the follow button, and you'll get the updates on our new broadcasts, our new downloaded shows, and you can follow us there. They'll send you emails and send you little blurbs on your Facebook that we have a new show downloading. Also, you can reach out to us by going on Issues Christian Men's Talk on the Facebook. We have our own Facebook page there. We post men's events, upcoming men's events. We have a devotional link there. We have time to just share some things that you can share. If your church, your ministry is having a men's event, we'd love to have you posted there. Because, again, we looking for the kingdom that we could get together as men and be with men, build relationships, build friendships, to encourage and keep each other. Amen. Gentlemen, in closing remarks, we're going to go around the board. Deacon Lee, you first, then Pastor Watkins and Pastor Cornwell, you can close us out. Deacon Lee?
Praise the Lord. I just encourage every man, especially a man of God, to hold to his own integrity, hold fast to what the Holy Spirit tells us to do through Christ. Always be appreciative of the blood of Jesus. It's something about walking or trampling on the blood of Jesus as if it's not precious. Just hold true to the values of Christ in your life. Link up with some people that you know is walking right and upright, and have them minister to you. You know, it's always good to have a man of God in Christ to be a friend. Not only that can help you, but if you, you know, like the pastor said, if iron sharpeth iron, if you don't have iron, I can't be sharpened on your iron. So, you know, it's just one thing to keep in mind. If you want to stay, you know, focused on what Christ has for you, definitely, you know, go through prayer. You know, a lot of men neglect prayer a lot of times and having a conversation with Christ, because sometimes we don't know what to pray for. But I just definitely tell and encourage all the men, you know, come out for the Man Up event. Definitely, you know, keep seeking the things of God in Jesus' name, and I love all of you.
Amen, sir. Pastor Watkins.
Amen, brothers. It's been a pleasure and an honor for me to be on here for Deacon Farr and Deacon Lee and Overseer Cornwell. I thank God for your wisdom and for your knowledge. The thing I want to say in parting is that we have to remember that our lives are living epistles known and read of men. And if that's the case, then when someone sits down to read the letter of our lives or to read the epistle of our lives, and they were to sit down with the Bible, would the Bible and your life match up, or would there be inconsistencies? Would the words that you say and the life that you live match up with what says in the scriptures? And in our lives as men of Christ, we have to be able to say that our lives line up with the Word of God. That's what we live up. That's the standard that we have to live up to. And we have to make sure that we're doing our best to to get to that point. In doing that, we have to make sure that we know ourselves, know our weaknesses, know the things that you are susceptible to fall into, and be willing to say, okay, God, I know I'm weak in this area, so you're going to have to give me a brother that's going to help me out so that when I get to this point, either I can call somebody or I can have an accountability brother that can help me through this. Because I know if I go into this area, I'm going to fall. When you do that, you don't compromise. You're trying to make sure that your life matches up to what the word says. So we have to make sure that if we are truly living epistles, let's make sure that when they read our lives, they're reading the right thing. Amen. Thank you, Deke.
Amen, sir. Overseer Caldwell, you're closing.
Amen. First, I have to say this. You know, I said it earlier, but I love it when deacons get fired up, man. I tell you, it's an awesome thing. Brother Pastor, it's always a pleasure to talk and share and teach with you. I'm going to say this to the men that's listening. Please understand that when you become born again, the same way in the street when a brother who cares about you checks you, like Deacon said, we're not criticizing or condemning. It's chastising each other. We are our brother's keeper, and we check each other. And it's, don't think that because you get saved and you come to church that all of a sudden love means nothing. And that's quite often. In fact, you know, just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean that a deacon can't say, but can I talk to you? Deacon Farr, you know, we have conversations all the time. But he said, Pastor, let me share a suggestion to you. And I said, okay, now listen, because if a brother checks you, it means he cares about you. And just because he doesn't say it with fluffy flowers and say, hey, Brother Pastor, can I talk to you for a second? He said, Pastor, come on, man, I think this. I look at him and I smile, and he smiles. And it's not that he's being disrespectful. He just said, Pastor, I just want to say this. I don't get offended by it because that's what friends do. That's what brothers do. We keep each other accountable. And please, men, one thing I'm going to say to you guys that's very, very important is listen to us. Please learn to not let your emotions guide your spirituality. Let your spirituality guide your emotions because, again, too often we men who have been raised in a home without our dads, we tend to lean to our emotions and carry that emotions into our spirituality and not see things from God's point of view, but from our spirit, from our fleshly point of view, even though we're spiritual entities. Because we are in our emotions will begin to take over until we learn to yield our emotions and not act upon our emotions, but to stop, slow our emotions down, not get offended quickly, listen slowly and speak slowly. I mean, listen hardly and speak slowly. And when a brother checks you, just pause for a second and say, well, what do you mean by that? And even if he says something that you disagree with, just hear him. If you disagree with it, just put it on the shelf. You ain't got to break fellowship with him or just, I ain't talking to a brother no more. That's not what men do. Pause for a second, put it on the shelf. Maybe you can use it later. And if you can't, you know, you kept a brother, and, you know, later on, you know, you can say, hey, listen, like how you said it to me, I pray that you're open to the same thing, and you all can check each other, and we all grow. And then you become iron, and iron, then, like Brother Deacon said, can sharpen iron. God bless you, Brother Deacon. And other, my little Brother Deacon Lee and my Brother Pastor, love you, Brother Pastor Larry.
Amen. God bless you. This is Vinicius Christian Men Talk. Remember, trust, fear, and honor the Lord. Good night.
Wonderful, very special, beautiful gift. Heaven sent me out, very wonderful, supernatural.